Fumbling for the utility light he carried in his pocket, Albrecht activated it and looked down at the bundle he was holding. A tiny baby, with a wisp of blonde hair, gurgled at him.
"Hello,"
Albrecht said, not knowing what else to say. The infant cooed. The bearded man appeared at Albrecht's side. Lit from below by the portable light, he looked kindly and not at all fatigued by whatever he had just done. "Thank you," he said, taking the child back. Starting to rise, he paused. "Excuse me, do you know the way to the Law's homestead?" Albrecht scratched his beard.
"Well, now, there's four or five ways to get there. Let me think of the best way to describe it."
"Never mind," the man replied. "I'll find it myself." He and the child disappeared into the darkness.
Albrecht rose now, turning the light onto the room around him. There was no good Mullingault, being revived by his no good sister as Jabe limped toward the open doorway. Albrecht could just make out the Wookiee outside, evidently chasing after Zed. The bartender was in the back consoling his wife. Jabba's thugs lay dead on the floor. The old farmer slumped back down again. What had happened in here? Had the stranger really taken on the Tops alone? Albrecht didn't remember seeing him with a weapon. And what about Jabe, who'd seemed to hang in the air before he dropped behind the bar? And what was that blasted, flashing blue light? Albrecht shook his aching head and the room spun a little. No, truth was, he couldn't trust his besotted eyes. No one would risk his neck against Jabba's tufts. And no one would bring a baby to a bar fight. No decent person, anyway. Certainly not some hero type. "People are just no good," Albrecht said to no one. Then he went to sleep. Meditation. The package is delivered. I hope you can read my thoughts, Master Qui-Gon. I haven't heard your voice since that day on Polis Massa, when Master Yoda told me I could commune with you through the Force. You'll remember that we decided I should take Anakin's son to his relatives for safekeeping. That mission is now accomplished. It feels so strange being here, at this place and in this circumstance. Years ago, we removed one child from Tatooine, thinking him to be the galaxy's greatest hope. Now I have returned one, with the same goal in mind. I hope it goes better this time, because the path to this moment has been filled with pain. For the whole galaxy, for my friends, and for me. I still can't believe the Jedi Order is gone, and the Republic, corrupted, and in the hands of Palpatine. And Anakin, corrupted as well. The hollow vids I saw of him slaughtering the Jedi younglings in the temple still haunt my dreams, and shatter my heart into pieces over and over again. But after the horror of children's deaths, a child may bring hope as well. It's as I said, the delivery is made. I'm standing on a ridge with my riding beast, a Tatooine Eopi, looking back at the Lars homestead. Owen and Beru Lars are outside, holding the child. The last chapter is finished. A new one has begun. I'll look for a place nearby, though if I hang around too long, I half expect Owen will want me to move someplace else, farther away. There may be wisdom in that. I seem to attract trouble, even in such a remote place as this. There was some mischief yesterday at Anchorhead, and before that, some trouble in one of the spaceports I passed through. None of it was really about me, thankfully, or why I'm here. But I can't afford to react to things as Obi-Wan Kenobi anymore. I won't be able to turn on my lightsaber without screaming Jedi Knight to everyone around. Even on Tatooine, I expect someone knows what that is. So this will be it. From here on out, as long as it takes, I'm minding my own business and staying out of trouble. I can't play Jedi for this world and help save the other worlds at the same time. Isolation is the answer. The city, even a village like Anchorhead, runs at too fast a pace. Out on the periphery, though, should be another story. I can already feel time moving differently. To the rhythm of the desert. Yes, I expect things will be slower. I'll be far from anywhere, and alone, with nothing but my regrets to keep me company. If only there were a place to hide from those.
Part 1. The Oasis. Chapter 1.
Everything casts two shadows. The suns had determined this at the dawn of creation. Brothers they were, until the younger son showed his true face to the tribe. It was a sin. The elder son attempted to kill his brother, as was only proper. But he failed. Burning, bleeding, the younger son pursued his sibling across the sky. The wily old star fled for the hills in safety, but it was his fate never to rest again. For the younger brother had only exposed his face. The elder had exposed his failure. And others had seen it, to their everlasting sorrow. The first sand people had watched the battle in the sky. The sons, duly covered in shame, turned their wrath on the witnesses. The Sky Brothers' gaze tore at the mortals, burning through flesh to expose their secret selves. The sand people saw their shadows on the sands of Tatooine and listened. The younger spirit urged attack. The elder told them to hide. Counsels from the condemned. The sand people were condemned as well. Always walking with the twin shadows of sacrilege and failure beside them, they would hide their faces. They would fight. They would raid. And they would run. Most sand people struck at night, when neither Sky Brother could whisper to them. A Yark preferred to hunt at dawn. The voices of the shadows were quieter then, and the settlers who infested the land could see their doom clearly. That was important. The eldest son had